Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us, great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into his word for this week. And we're going to be starting now in the book of 2 Samuel. We're still going to be talking about David. And at this time, we're actually going to now be talking about King David. At this point in the story, we're going to begin to talk about how David has now actually become king. Saul and Jonathan were both killed in the battle with the Philistines. And so now David is now actually reigning as king. But as we're going to see here in this week's teaching, is that even in the beginning of David's reign, everything doesn't go smoothly. I mean, we think about David's life, okay? He is anointed king because of Saul's disobedience. And upon being anointed king, David does not receive his role as king right away. Instead, David actually serves underneath Saul. He actually leaves his father's house to join Saul in his house, and he becomes a servant unto Saul. And during his time of being a servant unto Saul, Saul becomes jealous over David and actually begins to try to kill David and goes on a manhunt chasing after David in order to kill him. So, you know, you kind of think about how David would kind of think about this, you know? I mean, he was a young lad who basically seemed to live a pretty quiet life out in the pasture, tending to his father's sheep. We see as he tended to his father's sheep, I mean, he had obstacles or he had things that he had to overcome. We see that he had to kill a lion and a bear in order to protect his sheep. And he was faithful to protect over his father's sheep. And it was because of the fact that he was faithful over his father's sheep and doing that what was right, not being fearful, but being courageous and when nobody was watching and watching over something that was small and maybe minute that some people would say, you know, David showed to have a heart after God. And because he had a heart after God, God elevates David. And as we see the life of David play out, even from that moment in time, we see this heart that David had for God. Because even upon being anointed king, and not receiving the kingship, the throne right away, he continues to remain faithful. And most importantly, he remains faithful unto God and to his commandments and walking in that which was righteous and how he dealt with Saul. Because even upon Saul trying to kill him, he dealt in righteousness according to Saul. When he had the opportunity to avenge himself, David chose not to avenge himself, but chose to leave it in the hands of Yahweh. In fact, he said, who is it I to touch Yahweh's anointed? So he was trusting enough in Yahweh to wait for the right time and to wait for Yahweh to put him on the throne when it was right for him to be on the throne. He did not go out and seek to elevate himself to the throne on his own. And you can say that is one of the things that gave him that heart after God. He didn't seek his own self-promotion. He didn't seek to make something happen on his own and on his own strength, but he trusted that when it was time for him to be on the throne, he would be on the throne. And as we're going to see in this week's teaching, he trusted enough that when it was time for him to have the proper place of his throne, that he would receive it at the proper time. And he still acted in humility and kindness towards his enemies. So let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. It says, but Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, and he made him king over Gilead and the Azurites and Jezreel, and Ephraim and Benjamin and all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned 2 years. But the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. So we see here in this passage that upon Saul's death, it is now David's turn to be king. He is the one who has been anointed to be king over Israel. But Abner, who served under Saul, who is the commander of Saul's army, rebelled against David being king and instead took one of Saul's sons and placed him as king over Israel. And we see here that he served as king over Israel and Benjamin, but David served over Judah. So the only tribe that David was king over at the beginning of his reign was a tribe of Judah. So even upon him finally getting his throne, he's not even king over all of Israel. You kind of think of, was David frustrated? Is David wondering and losing doubt to think, man, you know, I was anointed king of Israel. I was supposed to be king over Israel. Am I really going to be king over Israel? He faced on his journey to actually being the king over Israel, he faced some trials. You could say he faced some temptations. It was a temptation when he came across Saul alone in the cave and he had the opportunity to kill Saul. There was a temptation there. You could say there's a temptation here at this moment in time. David could have said, you know, I am going to go and rightfully take what is mine and forcibly try to take the kingdom for himself. But David still responds in humility. He still continues to trust in God. And he acts in righteousness. And we're going to see that play out here as we continue on in this chapter. Because remember, Abner is the key piece in this journey. And the other thing that we see in this passage, in this chapter, along this journey, is David has actually lost his wife, Michal. Remember, he had paid for Michal with the foreskins of 100 Philistines. She was given to him as his bride from Saul. But we read a passage in this chapter where we see that his bride, Micah, is in Israel and is with Ish-bosheth. He has to come to an agreement with Ish-bosheth in order for David to get his wife back. So there's a lot of room, you could say, for David to be bitter and to be angry at Abner and Ish-bosheth. But we're going to see in this story that David does not respond to them in this anger or in this bitterness or holding a grudge against them. He still continues to treat them in kindness, shows them honor, and shows them respect. Because as we see here in this chapter, David's men are actually going to kill Abner out of revenge for Abner killing one of their men. And let's look at how David responds to, you could say, somebody who was one of his arch enemies. somebody who has caused him a lot of pain. How does he respond to the news that this man was killed? Same thing with Saul. When he got news that Saul was killed, and the person who brought him the news said that he helped kill Saul, David mourned over the death of Saul and had the man who killed Saul put to death because he put his hands on Yahweh's anointed. Think about that. He revenged the death of his enemy. Now let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 31. Then David said to Joab and all the people who were with him, "Tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner." And King David followed the briar. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king lamented for Abner, saying, "Should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, your feet were not feathered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen." And all the people wept again over him. So upon David hearing the news of Abner being killed, David does not rejoice. David's response isn't, "Oh, finally, now I can have the whole kingdom to myself. My enemy is gone." He does not respond that way. He doesn't respond in joy because of all the pain that Abner has caused him. Instead, David's response and command to his people was for them to mourn for Abner. He mourned over the loss of his enemy and told his people to mourn over the loss of Abner. This is an example of David leading by example over his men and also over an entire nation. Because that ultimately is what the king was supposed to do. If we look in the Torah, we see that the king was actually instructed to write down a copy of the Torah for himself. The king of Israel was to know what the Torah was and what was in it. And his role was not to rule over people as the kings of the nations rule over their people, but he was to lead the nation by example. He was to show them what it meant to walk in righteousness, to walk in obedience to his Torah. And as David is showing here, he is showing his men, and ultimately he is showing Israel what it means to love your enemy, to love your brother. He is setting the example for the people to follow. And we're going to see, because David does this, David earns the respect of the people. Some would probably say, "Don't act this way, because in acting this way, you show your weakness. If you mourn over your enemy, you're just showing that you're weak." But we're going to see that actually, because David acted this way, he gained favor with the people of Israel. Because David wasn't concerned about what the people thought. He wasn't concerned about what his men thought. He was concerned about what was right before the eyes of his God and doing what was right before the eyes of his God. And ultimately, because he did that, he had favor with his men and with the people of Israel. You know, Scripture tells us, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on how we think something should go. Don't lean on how we think we should respond in a situation, how we think we can make a situation right, but lean on his understanding. Trust in him, because his ways are going to be different than how the world would say to do it. It's going to be different than how our initial desire or feeling to do something would be. That is why he is set apart. He thinks and acts differently and commands us to act differently than how the world thinks and acts. And Scripture also tells us that his thoughts are higher than ours. His way of doing things sometimes are going to be higher than ours. They're going to be at a spot we may not quite understand why. But if we learn to trust in him, even though we may not understand why, we're going to see that he is way wiser than us. And his blessings and his favor are going to follow. And it will work out, because he is wiser and more knowing than we are. And if we could just learn to trust him. And that's what we can learn from David. He knew what it meant to trust in his God. So when his enemy died, he could respond in mourning instead of rejoicing. Let's look at verse 35. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, God do so to me and more also, if I taste bread or anything else till the sun goes down. And all the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner, the son of Ner. So we see here first, in David's mourning, he will fast in the mourning of the death of Abner. And because of this, the people see that David is truly and rightly mourning over Abner. That David's not even putting on a show to fake it, but he is truly mourning for Abner. The people see that. That David is truly sad over the situation that Abner was killed. And the people saw it, and it pleased them, because they saw that it was not David's desire or will for Abner to be put to death. So if you kind of think, if we go back to his ways being higher than ours, had David rejoiced over the situation? Had David even at one point in time said, I'm going to get the throne for myself and I will kill Abner to do it? Would he have had the favor? Would the people of Israel been pleased with David? But because David was patient and David waited for God's will to be done, and when Abner was killed, he even mourned over the death of Abner, the people saw that David did not go after Abner in order to obtain the throne over Israel. He gained the favor of the people of Israel. It made a difference. Had David acted any other way, it is very reasonable and possible that David would not have had favor with the people of Israel. Let's look at verse 38. And the king said to his servants, "Do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? And I was gentle today, the anointed king. These men, the sons of Zeruiah, are more severe than I. Yahweh repay the evildoer according to his wickedness." So here is David himself saying, yes, I was anointed king. I could have come down with a hammer, but I didn't. I was gentle. David led in gentleness. How we can learn from David in that. So as I said at the beginning, I believe the thing that really allowed David to walk in righteousness through the trials that he faced upon actually being able to sit on the throne of Israel, over all of Israel, was his ability to trust in Yahweh. And I want to jump now to a psalm that he wrote, and that is Psalms chapter 4 and verse 1. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. How many times do you think David cried out for help during this season? When Saul was pursuing him and was jealous over him, how many times do you think David called out unto God? How many times do you think David called out to God when he was supposed to be the king over all of Israel, but all he was sitting on the throne was over the tribe of Judah? But he put his trust in the right spot. He says, when I call unto you, you have given me relief in my distress. I know I can call upon you. I know I can put my trust in you. Be gracious and hear my prayer. If we could learn to just call upon his face when we are in distress, if we can learn to call upon his face when we feel as David felt in these situations, when we feel we're being wronged, maybe when someone's pursuing after us or we haven't been dealt fairly with. Because David had a very good reason to say that he was not being treated very fairly. But he just called out unto God and he waited for God to bring him the relief. And he knew God would bring him the relief because he trusted him. Do we trust that he's going to answer our cries for help? That he's going to relieve us? He's going to bring relief? Because if we do, then we have no need to try to bring the relief on our own. We have no need to try to avenge ourselves. We can sit back and be kind and be gentle and be patient, waiting for him to answer our call. Let's look at verse 2. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah. You think about this. Here was a man who was supposed to be honored as the king of Israel. But yet, did he receive honor when Saul was pursuing after him to kill him? Did he receive honor when his wife was taken from him? Did he receive honor when all he reigned over in the beginning of his kingship was over Judah? No. Did he seek to gain that honor on his own? No. In fact, he showed honor to the men who had shown him shame. Let's look at verse 3. But know that Yahweh has set apart the godly for himself. Yahweh hears when I call to him. So what is something that we can put our assurance on when we believe that we are not receiving the honor that we should receive, but instead it seems like we're receiving shame? Number one, we see David responded by showing those who shamed him with honor. And why did he do that? Because it was built upon the fact that he knew that Yahweh sets apart the godly for himself. So as long as he remained to be godly, Yahweh would hear his call, and at the right time, his relief would come. It was set upon the fact that he knew that Yahweh set apart the godly for himself. So David's responsibility was, yes, to continue to call upon Yahweh until he got his relief. But it also was to act godly, because it's amongst the godly that Yahweh sets apart for himself. That was the reason David was anointed king in the first place, because he was godly. He had a heart after God. What does it mean to be godly? It means to act like God, to walk in his ways. How do we walk in his ways? By being obedient to his law. His law is what sets us apart. The Torah sets us apart. His commands that he has given us. When we walk in obedience to his Torah, it sets us apart. And we're walking in godliness. Yeshua walked in perfect obedience to the Torah. Yeshua walked in godliness, and we are to walk as he walked. He was our example. It sets us apart. So as we walk in that which is set apart, when we walk in obedience and we call upon his name, even though everything doesn't seem to be fair at that moment in time, and it always won't seem fair, David had to wait. And sometimes we will have to wait. But he will esteem those who honor him. He will esteem those who believe in him, who have a heart after him, who walk in his ways, who are godly, meaning they walk in obedience to his commands. Let's look at verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. So was David angry over everything he went through? I'm sure he was. But as David says in the scripture here, be angry and do not sin. David did not allow his anger to cause him to sin. He didn't allow his anger to cause him to avenge himself on Saul. He didn't allow his anger to cause him to rejoice over the death of Saul or over the death of Abner. But he mourned. And in mourning, he acted in that which was godly. So what does it mean to be angry and do not sin? It means that when we were angry, we do not disobey his commands. We do not allow our anger to be a reason or an excuse for us not to love our brother or our enemy. And that's the one that's hard. That in your anger, you still need to love your enemy. Yeshua was angry, but did not sin. We can be angry at sin. We actually need to learn to be angry at the sin in our own lives. It's so easy to be angry at the sin that is in other people's lives and just look over and be at peace at the sin that is in our life. But we need to be angry over the sin and the compromise and the wickedness that dwells within our own hearts. Let's look at verse 5. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in Yahweh. So offer the right sacrifices. What does he desire? Obedience. What is the right sacrifice? It's obedience. Offer obedience and trust in Yahweh. That's the biggest thing. Trust in Yahweh. Trust that he is hearing you, that he is going to avenge you, that he is going to bring you relief, that at his timing, when it is right for him, he will answer your call. Sometimes we go through the battle so that he can make us into the man that he wants us to be. Everything David went through was for a purpose, and it showed the people of Israel a certain character trait or a godliness that was in David. So we need to look at our trials as an opportunity to show our godliness to those who are around us. Trust in him. When things don't seem to be going the way they ought to go, as David so often could have cried during this time period, just put your trust in Yahweh. Verse 6, there are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Yahweh. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Yahweh, make me dwell in safety. I want to key in on verse 7 here. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. Can we learn to just be satisfied with the joy that we have from being in relationship with him? And not being focused upon life having to be perfect in order for us to walk in joy. Even though things did not go maybe the way David thought they would go when he was anointed king, even though Saul chased after him to kill him, even though his wife was taken from him, and even though he only reigned over Judah for the beginning of his kingship, he still could find joy because he was walking with the Almighty. If we could learn to find our joy in him and not in our circumstances, not in what the circumstances could bring us, not what people can bring us, but in what he brings us. If we can learn to be content with him, we will find great joy, and we will be able to push ourselves through the same trials and tribulations that David faced, and we can come out on the other end as David did. David went on to be a great king over Israel because he never gave up. He chose to do what was right and walk in godliness when he was being put to shame. Well, hallelujah. I hope that this message has blessed you this week. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back and join us next week. And shalom, y'all.